Welcome to the Joey Mitchell Podcast, Celebrity Interviews. Joey's been broadcasting his radio show throughout California for over 51 years and has interviewed hundreds of celebrities. Most of these interviews have only aired once. Now, he's decided to share them once again. Every week, a new celebrity with a behind-the-scenes peek into what happened before and after the interview. So sit back, relax, and get set to travel back in time. Here's Joey.
Thanks, Todd. Today on Celebrity Interviews with me, Joey Mitchell, we talk to a guy that is kind of an idol for me. Being a New York Yankees fan, because I grew up in Manhattan, Don Larsen, the only guy to pitch a perfect game in a World Series, was made available to me because he was having an appearance here in Sacramento. I freaked out. I thought it was great. It was a phone interview, but later on I was going to meet him at the event. He was kind enough to sign a baseball for me, which I still have. Now, Don made his Major League Baseball debut when he started with the Tigers back in April of 1953. For his rookie season, he finished with a 7-12 record. Not the greatest. But what was amazing is he batted .284 with three home runs in 81 at-bats in his rookie year. That's almost unheard of for a pitcher. In 1954, the New York Yankees, despite winning 103 games, finished second behind the Cleveland Indians in the American League. Well, their general manager blamed the age of their pitching staff for the performance, and he was desperate for young starting pitchers to place behind his staff ace, Whitey Ford. So Weiss managed to find a trade partner with the Orioles. He and Yankees manager Casey Stengel thought that Don Larsen had the most potential out of all the possible trades because they'd been impressed with Larsen's performance against the Yankees when he pitched a 10-0 shutout on July 30th of 54. So they demanded he be included in the trade. Well, as a member of the New York Yankees from 55 to 59, Larsen was used by Casey Stengel as a backup starter and occasionally a reliever. He went 45-24 during his five seasons in New York, making 90 starts in 128 appearances. But what happened on that special day, the magic day, October the 8th, 1956? The Yankees were in Game 5 of the World Series against the Brooklyn Dodgers, and Don Larsen explains in this interview how he found out he was pitching that day and end up with the only no-hitter of any type pitched in postseason play until Philadelphia Phillies pitcher Roy Halladay threw a no-hitter against the Cincinnati Reds in 2010. But that was in Game 1 of the National League Division Series, not the actual World Series. Larsen started in Game 5 for the Yankees, and his opponent in the game was Brooklyn's Sal Magley. Larsen needed just 97 pitches to complete that perfect game, and only one Dodger batter, Pee Wee Reese, in the first inning, was able to get to a three-ball count. He didn't get walked, but he just got three balls before Larsen struck him out. Larsen later remembered, "I had great control that day. I never had that kind of control in my life." And on that last pitch, the 97th pitch, the umpire yelled, "Strike three!" The game was over. Yogi Berra ran and jumped into Don Larsen's arms while he was still standing on the mound. We'll talk about that in the interview, too. When that game ended, Larsen did a round of endorsements and promotional work around the United States, but he stopped soon after because he said it was disrupting his routine. Now, Larsen married his first wife, Vivian, back in 1955, about a year before the perfect game, out of a sense of duty after she became pregnant with his child. The day of his perfect game, she was in court suing for unpaid alimony. Now, I mentioned this to Don during the interview, and you'll hear how he reacts negatively to the memory. They were divorced in 57, and Larsen and his second wife, Corrine, were married for over 60 years. They lived in Idaho, and it was reported in 2012 that he put up for auction the uniform he had worn to pitch his perfect game to pay for expenses of his grandchildren's college education. Sadly, Don died on January 1st, 2020 from esophageal cancer at the age of 90. Ironically, one of the grandkids he helped fund to a college education recently was seen depositing Don's ashes on the pitcher's mound of the original Yankee Stadium field. It's located adjacent to the new stadium, and it's used to play amateur baseball games, so folks can walk right up to the mound or home plate, even though it's considered by many sacred baseball ground. While placing his grandpa's ashes on the actual mound from which he threw the perfect game, a woman who had nothing to do with the event was seen walking her dog nearby. Ironically, she was wearing a blouse with the words "Perfect Game" printed on the front. No one knows why or how she got there, although I like to think Don's amazing personality somehow arranged for the encounter from baseball heaven. Here's my interview with the incredible Don Larson.
Those don't know, Don Larson, the only man in the world to pitch the perfect game in a World Series, will be at the old Ironsides. That's today, 4 to 6 p.m. at 10th and S Street. And you've got a new book you're going to be signing.
Yes, it's called The Perfect Yankee. I'll have a few of those down there if available.
And you'll be signing those too. Anybody picks one up, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And there's also an autographed picture of you and Wells and Cohn, the only other two guys in Yankee.
Well, I got some of Cohn and I, and then some of Yogi and I.
Uh-huh.
I don't have very many of the three of us. And then I got a variety of pitchers and baseballs.
Okay. We're taking care of business, first of all. And of course, you know, folks, Wells and Cohn are the only other two guys in Yankee uniforms to pitch a perfect game. But there's a whole different thing to pitch in a perfect game in a World Series. Only one man's done it. I'm talking to him right now. And this was 1956, October the 8th. Does it seem like yesterday to you, or does it seem like another lifetime?
Oh, sometimes it seems like it never even happened.
Really?
Because I think about it almost every day, or somebody will ask me about it, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially during the baseball season.
I close my eyes and I can see Yogi running up to the mound and jumping up on top of you.
Yeah, I couldn't take that again.
Now, he was stocky and heavy back then, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah, with all the equipment on, too, you know. He wasn't small.
No. Was he as smart as they say as far as the game's concerned? Because he says some of the goofiest things. But when it came to catching, I mean, he had to be one of the best, I would think.
Well, I can tell you what Hank Bauer felt. When you cross that white line, business starts.
Uh-huh.
And Yogi was a fine catcher. He was a lot better defensive catcher than people thought.
Yeah.
You know, besides being a bad ball hitter or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
he did a very good job.
Tell me about the Ted Williams strike zone that supposedly he had his own zone.
Well, yes, it's good eyesight, you know. It didn't take him long to develop a little authority.
Yeah.
But like I said, he almost umpired his own game. Unless he swung at it, the umpire wouldn't call it, you know, a strike.
A lot of people don't realize that on October the 8th, the day that you pitch this perfect game and make baseball history, your estranged wife, Vivian, had filed a court action to withhold your series money.
Well, that's history. I don't talk about that.
Yeah, but you're under that kind of stress.
Oh, whatever. Things happen, you know, for the good and bad.
That didn't bother you at all that day?
No.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, man, you know, if something like that happened to me, I wouldn't be able to leave the house, never mind pitch a perfect game.
Oh.
Tom, what do you think happened that day? What? I mean, you weren't having that good a season, and all of a sudden you're out there pitching this perfect game. What was going on?
Well, I started the second game of that series, you know, and I was ahead 6-0, but then I got a little wild, and Casey didn't like that, so I left the game, you know, early, and we ended up losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I tell everybody, that I didn't think I'd be starting again. I knew I'd be in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was, because, you know, we only had a few more games to go, and then all winter to rest. But I didn't know I was going to start the game until I came to the park. And Frank Grissetti had the ball in my shoe, which I knew I was going to start.
Oh, is that the way they told
yeah,
you?
Yeah, they probably undecided, or maybe they knew, maybe they didn't want to tell me anything, you know,
uh-huh.
to get me upset or whatever. It made
yeah.
no difference. But
yeah.
But I was glad I had a second chance. I was just hoping I wouldn't mess it up like I did the second game, because we were tied 2-2. And, you know, winning that game, going back to Brooklyn, you know, for one or two more, it was tough playing over there.
That's right.
And it was a big advantage to us to go back there, you know, leading 3-2.
Mm-hmm. So now, I understand it's baseball tradition. Nobody talks about it when it's happening.
Well, I don't believe in that.
So I
may have some other things that I'm, you know, concerned about, but I mentioned it to Mantle after the seventh inning.
Uh-huh. What'd you say?
I just bumped him and said I was having a cigarette. I said, look at the scoreboard. You know, wouldn't it be something, you know, two more innings to go?
What was his response?
Well, he just looked at me something crazy and walked away from me, and nobody in dugout would talk to me.
Because of that
yeah,
attitude?
Because I said something, you know. It was like in a damn morgue. I was lonesome.
So
I wanted somebody to talk with.
So it's true. I mean, they feel it's bad luck, and you're trying to talk to people.
Yeah, I'm trying to relax, you know, and feel good about it. And they didn't help me a bit.
That's all for today's episode of Celebrity Interviews with Joey Mitchell. Join us again next week for another well-known celebrity that most likely only aired once on Joey's show until now. Now you can subscribe to the podcast at patreon.com/Joey Mitchell Podcast. Patreon.com/Joey Mitchell Podcast. And you'll never miss an episode or extras only available to subscribers. Please visit and like Joey Mitchell's podcast on Facebook and tell us what you think. Thanks for listening.